Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord, everybody. We praise God for being here on today. Welcome to the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle in Jesus' name. Amen. We praise God for being here. This is the show to get your weekend started off right. This is the show where the gospel is told and not sold, y'all. Amen. We thank God for each and every one of you being here on today, in Jesus' name, amen. We also praise God for this day, amen, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it, amen. I want to say first off, I want to give honor to our honor to God, first of all, in Jesus' name, amen, giving honor to the Lord who is the head of our life, in Jesus' name. Also want to give honor to the watchman on the wall of this radio broadcast, of this network, in Jesus' name, Bishop Shirlene Cook, amen, God bless you, and giving honor to my pastor and my first lady, of Triumph and Faith Apostolic Assembly, amen, Pastor William A. Tuggle III, and First Lady Cosette Trotman Tuggle, amen, God bless you, and we praise God for each and every single one of you, in Jesus' name, amen. Today, we are talking about something that is very, very timely today that the Lord has been dealing with me on. It is titled, this topic today is titled, We were made for the master's use. Amen. We are made for the master's use. Amen. And I wanted to start off with just saying that anytime a life is given in this world, anytime a newborn baby is born, there's a reason for it. That life is meant to be used for the Lord Jesus Christ. My former pastor used to say, a baby that is born, whether they're born with two parents in the home, with a mother and a father in the home, and those two people are married before they had that child, or whether they were married after they had that child. No child is a mistake. Amen. And she used to say that no child is a mistake. Whether how that baby got here, that might be the downfall, but the child itself is not a mistake, because we were created, we were made for the master's use. And I wanted to go to a very familiar passage of scripture. I wanted to go to two scriptures here that the Lord had shown me today. In the book of Matthew, and this is something that I think I read last week, but you know, when you're in your, when you study the word of God, I've always, learned, through, being taught and reading the word of God, my own self, that when you, there is different, I don't want to say revelations, because I hate using that word now, because so many, preachers and pastors and ministers, they say, I got a new revelation. God's doing a new thing. And they're really being false with it, actually. Some of them are.
Say that.
And so I don't like using revelation, but a new, I don't want to say new anything because this is not, there's nothing new up under the sun. But when you read the word of God, God will show you things, whether you you can read the same passage of scripture and God shows you new things that he wants you to know. He gives you, he tells you new things about what his word is about. Amen. So I'll say it that way. But in this verse, in these verses, in the book of Matthew, chapter number 16, and then we're going to go to Acts chapter 2. Amen. We're going to start at verse number 15. And we're going to read down to verse number 18. Amen. Or 19. Amen. And it reads, he saith unto them, but who say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now I want to go over to Acts chapter 2 verse I want to start over in the first part of Acts. Amen. Acts chapter 2. Because this is what we just read in the book of Matthew is showing us what God had prepared for Peter. Amen. Amen. We're going to read Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And then we're going to drop down to Acts chapter 2, and we're going to read Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, and then we're going to drop down to verse 38 through 40. Amen. And it reads, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloving tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then we're going to go over to Acts 2, verses 37 through 40. Amen. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and unto your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he buy and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untorn generation. I thank God for these passages of scripture, because on today, the Lord has let us know, and he's shown us in the word of God, what in Matthew chapter 16, what we read in Matthew chapter 16, what Peter's destiny was. He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What was he talking about? The reason why I read Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, the day of Pentecost was the start of the church. He said in Matthew chapter 16, he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If Peter hadn't have been born, if Peter hadn't have been created, now we know that God, God has, if somebody doesn't want to do something, God has other avenues. We all know this. But God made sure that Peter was created for his use. Amen. God created Peter because Peter was outspoken. Peter was an outspoken man. We see it all through the Bible that Peter was an outspoken man. When he got saved, before Peter got saved, he was outspoken. We know he was outspoken because before Peter received the Holy Ghost, Peter was a fighter. Peter was the one that said, "Hey, I'll stand for you, Lord. I'll stand for you." He's the one that sliced off a soldier's ear for the Lord. Amen. But when Peter received the Holy Ghost, before the Holy Ghost came, the Lord knew what was in Peter. And the Lord used what was in Peter, that same fight that Peter had naturally, and that same outspokenness, the Lord wanted to use that. And he used it when he said, he foretold Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. Why? Why did he say he was going to build his church upon Peter? Because Peter was an outspoken man. Peter didn't take no stuff. Peter tell you like it is. We hear about Peter, and when Peter was confronted by people, he would tell people, "You need to be saved. You got to be filled with the Holy Ghost." When on the day of Pentecost, there were men and brethren that came to Peter. These men and brethren came to Peter, and Peter preached the message. Peter told them in more ways than one that you need to be saved, and he didn't sugarcoat it either. That same fire, that same outspokenness, he used Peter. That's why he said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Why did he say in the gates of hell shall not prevail against it? Because even down from the day of Pentecost up until now, people are still being saved. The gates of hell has not prevailed against the preaching of God, against the preaching of the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. But it started with Peter on the day of Pentecost. Amen. It started with the outspokenness of Peter. It started with the fight that Peter had. on the day of Pentecost. You might say, well, Minister Adam, what are you trying to say? I'm saying this. We need to be all in. We were created for the master's use. We were created for the master's use, to be used by God. There is people out here in this world today that have not heard the preaching and the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to compel men to come unto him. We can't sugarcoat it. Just like Peter didn't sugarcoat it, we can't sugarcoat it. Peter didn't, and look, watch this. Peter, when Peter preached the message, he wasn't preaching the message to get his fame and popularity. He was preaching the message so that souls could be saved. He was looking out for souls. He wasn't looking out for himself. Yeah, Peter had a name. Why did Peter built up a name. Why? Because he was doing it for the admission of the Lord. He wasn't doing it to be seen. And then there's a lot of preachers and a lot of pastors and a lot of bishops and whatever you want to call them, that are doing this work for fame and fortune. They're doing it because they want to be seen. They want their name up in light. But the Bible says that God will not give his glory unto another. He said he won't give his glory unto another. Don't you know that when you try to make a name off of God's word, don't you know you're taking away from God's glory? You're taking away from God's glory, and you want to be seen. And that's the way, and you know what? You have the same spirit. Let me clarify that for you. When a person does that, when a person preaches the word of God to be famous, just to make money, just to do this, just to have a big name, you're doing this. You have the same spirit like the devil had. And I'm not going to sugarcoat it, because the devil, he wanted to be seen and still wants to be seen. He still wants to, even after 2,000 years, even after 2,022 years, he still wants to be seen and heard and still trying to be above God. But let me tell you this, when you have that spirit on the inside of you, you're not going to go far. Why? Because it only will take you so far. Amen. But when you do it in the name of Jesus Christ, with a good intention, with the intention of doing it for the Lord, all will be well with you. Why? How do we know? It says it in Romans 8:28. It says, and we know that all things work. All things work together for the good of them that love God and that are called according to what? His purpose. If you're doing it for the purpose of God, then all things will work for you. Do you know why? I know a bishop right now. Name is big here in Indianapolis. But he stands, and he still, to this day, he stands on the word of God. He's not doing it for fame. He's not doing it for fortune. He's not doing it for nothing like that. He's doing it for souls to be saved. And he preaches the unadulterated word of God. He does not kowtow. He does not. And I've heard this bishop preach many, many times. As a little boy, I've grown up watching this bishop preach at my former church many, many times. I remember one of the sermons that he preached one time. and he was preaching on Paul and Silas. And then the title of his message was 1159. 1159. And he's got a big name because he's doing it for the work of God. And he's not trying to build himself up, but he's trying to build up the kingdom. When we learn how, and I'm talking to the church today, I'm not talking to the sinner man, even though the sinner man needs to come unto Jesus. But what are they coming unto when we have preachers and teachers and bishops and pastors that are doing it for the fame and the fortune at the front line? What are we doing? I ain't got time. If I'm doing this for fame and fortune, which I'm not, I'm not saying this to gloat or anything. I'm not doing that. I'm not saying this to gloat. The times that I have preached outside of my church, I have preached only a handful of times outside my church. Not one time, once out of the handful of times I probably have spoken outside my church, being my current church and my former church, I've only spoken outside of that church probably like 7 or 8 times, a whole time of ministry. I'm not upset about it, but only one time out of that 7 or 8 times have I received an offer. Because I'm not doing it for fame and fortune. I'm not doing it for money. I'm doing it for souls. This is a soul thing. I want souls to be saved. And then the person that tried to give me the offer, I tried to give it back. And it took my pastor to tell me, Adam, it's all right. It's okay. It's all right. It took my pastor William A. Tucker III to tell me, oh, it's okay. It's all right. Think, no, I don't want. I'm not doing this for this. It's okay. It's okay. But we need to learn how. There is a harvest is ripe, but the labors are few. Why are the labors few when we got so many bishops and pastors? And we got so many people carrying tablets up in the pulpit, and we got so many people preaching on TV, but the labors are few. Why does the Bible say the labors are few? The harvest is ripe, but the labors are few. Because they're not getting good. Because the harvest is not getting the teaching that it needs. I'm just gonna tell you like it is. The laborers, the ones that are standing on truth, they're few. They're few. It ain't because God doesn't have a church preaching. It's because the laborers are few, because there's very few nowadays standing on truth anymore. A lot of preachers and pastors are saying you can go where, you can do whatever you want to do. You can go wherever you want to go and still be saved. The devil is a liar. But we were created for the master's use. We weren't created for our own use. We weren't created for that. We weren't created to do our own thing, even though God gives us choice. We still weren't created to do our own thing. This life that we live, the Bible says life is like a vapor. It appears for a little while, and then what? It vanishes away. It appears for a little while, and it vanishes away. Is your life going to look like? What is somebody going to say about you at the end of your life? I've been to funerals for children. I've been to funerals for pastors, bishops. I've been to funerals for just unsaved people. I've been to every type of funeral there is in my life, in my living. What will people, what will God mainly, what will God say about you? At the end of it all, and I'm talking to the church today, I'm talking to, well, I'm going to say like my former pastor used to say, I'm talking to who I'm talking to today. Amen. Because today, right now is the right time for souls to be saved. My first lady, she was saying, she asked me, and I had to repent. I had to repent, and I sure did. I repented right there on the spot because it convicted me what my first lady was telling me. And she wasn't even specifically talking to me, but it hit me. Amen. And because it took me back to my first lady said, the best time to win a soul is when you see, especially if you know what they're going through, the best time to get an unsaved person to draw them to Christ is when they're going through. Is when they're going through. That's the best time. And I thought about a situation that of a person that I knew right when she said that. And in my spirit, I started repenting because, you know, I knew this individual had went through, and I kept telling myself, I'm going to call them. I'm going to see about them. And I never did what during the, I went to go see them once, maybe twice. And after that, I didn't go back and go see them. And I felt bad after when my first lady said that, I felt bad. And I repented right there on the spot. I said, Lord, forgive me. Why? Because that was a time for me to go after that individual. Keep going. Not just going after that individual one time. Not just going to see him one time, once or twice. But keep not keep tabs on him like you're stalking him or something, because that's bad too. But check on him. The best way to draw somebody, let me help you today. If you want to be a soul winner, the best way to draw somebody, not to preach to them, not to give them Genesis to Revelations all the time, just check, just call and say, I just called to check on you. I just called to see how you was. And keep doing it. I just called to say I love you. I didn't get to. Maybe they came to your church one day. Maybe they came to your church one Sunday. And you invited them to church one Sunday, and they came, and then they just stopped coming all of a sudden. Call them up, and you ain't talked to them. Call them up. Be like, you came to church with me one Sunday, and it seemed like you had a good time and everything, and I just miss you. Going on with you? I'm just calling to check on you. Do you need anything? That's the way you do. That's how you win them. Sometimes go by. You want to know how to win your enemies? My first lady showed me something, and I'm sitting over here bugging on my first lady because my first lady is a giver. She gives a lot. My former pastor, before my dad and my mom got married, my former pastor told my father, said, and she was doing it in a joking way, but she was telling him, hey, look, watch out for this. She was saying, you're about to be married to a giver. You're about to marry a giver. So what you need to do is watch what she gives. Watch the way she gives, because she'll give so much that might end up giving you away. Now, she was joking, but that's how much she was telling my father, you're marrying a giver. I remember times where my former pastor and they weren't trying to see who would outgive each other, but they were givers. My pastor would do something during the offering. It would be last dollar blessing. It's something we made up in the church. And my former pastor would put in the last dollar, and she would sit down, and then my mom would come, secretly throw in her last dollar. And then my pastor would see it, and then she'll run up to the offering plate and put in her last dollar. And then it would go back and forth and back and forth, and then other people would start joining in, and then everybody would try to fight to get the last dollar blessing. But we need to learn as people of God, we got to learn that we are built for the master's use. We can't live this life without giving unto the Lord. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living, what? Sacrifice. Holy and acceptable unto who? Not unto me. Not unto Adam Tuggle. Not unto Bishop Cook. Not unto Pastor Tuggle. Not unto First Lady Tuggle. Not unto anybody. But unto God. This is your reasonable service. Your life, and I'm talking to preachers, pastors, ministers, whoever is in the leadership role, whoever say they got a calling on their life, whoever's witnessing the souls, because it ain't always the person standing up preaching in a pulpit I'm talking to today. I'm talking to that soul winner. Amen. Because every auxiliary in the church, every auxiliary in the kingdom of God is important. You're important. I'm important. But nobody's important above God. Amen. Just because my pastor has the title of pastor doesn't make him important than the lowest person cleaning the floors. Because there was one, my former pastor always used to say, to be a great leader, you got to learn how to be a great follower. But we were all built for the master. We were all created for the master's use. No matter what you're doing, you were created for the master's use. And whether you're an usher, whether you are, whether you're taking up offerings, whether you're a praise dancer, whatever you're doing for the kingdom, whatever you're doing for the kingdom, you are important. There is, and let me tell you this, and don't take your job lightly. Don't take your job lightly. You might say, well, Minister Adam, I'm not on the radio like you are. I'm not. So what? That don't mean nothing. Your job just as big as my job. I don't care. The Lord don't care that I'm on the radio. Lord don't care about nothing about that. Lord does not care about that. Just because I don't even care about that. Sorry. And when I say I don't care, I mean in the contents of I'm not trying to be bigger than anybody else. That's what I mean. This is little compared to what God's got for us. He said in the Bible declared to us that greater works than these shall ye do. Your greater work might be the usher. Your greater work might be, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. Amen. You might be a great and reader of the Bible, might be able to interpret the Word of God great, better than I can. I'm not the best interpreter of the Word of God. I don't know everything. I ain't no genius. I do not consider myself to be the best preacher in the face of the earth. I don't. And those that do, you need to come off your high horse, because you ain't. I'm sorry. Well, I can preach better than Bishop Cook. I can preach better than Minister Adam. I can preach better than Bishop this and Bishop that. You know what? They should have called me up there. And you know what? That's the one that needs to sit yourself down, because you on your high horse. And everything high going to be cut down. Everything that exalted itself is going to be cut down today. And let me tell you something. All of these preachers, and you can hit, and you can mark it. You can mark it. Because the Bible says so. Every preacher that exalted himself, every teacher that has exalted their self, is going to be cut down. You can mark it for today. You can mark it for today that Minister Adam Tuggle said that all preachers, October the 1st, you can mark it, October 1st, 2022, that eventually preachers that are exalting their stuff, that are in the ministry of God, trying to exalt their stuff, trying to get fame and fortune, trying to build mega churches just because they want a big name and all this stuff, they're getting ready to be cut down. And the ones that are standing on truth, that are standing for holiness, that are standing for righteousness, that are preaching holiness, that are preaching righteousness, they're getting ready to come to the forefront. You can mark it today. Why? Minister Adam, how can you say that? How can you say that? Are you prophesying? No, I'm not prophesying. I'm not saying none of that. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. That's not in the Word that they'll be cut. Uh-huh. Yes, it is. It may not say cut down, but it does say it, because it said the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. Do you understand that the big name preachers, the ones that ain't living nothing, even the no name preachers that ain't living nothing but got big names and in their cities and stuff, they're gonna be cut down too. If you ain't living holy, holiness is either holiness or hell. Because a lot of people, and I don't say, and it ain't it's partly not their fault. I'm going to say it. It's partly not their fault. A lot of people, it is their fault. It is their fault, but it's partly not their fault. Why a lot of people are going or have gone to hell. The reason why is because either they're following somebody not preaching truth, not preaching holiness, not preaching righteousness, and they choose to follow them. That's why it's their fault. And it goes on the preacher too. The Bible says, let me give you a little bit of background on what the Word of God has stated for preachers that preach against the Word of God. Because you ain't preaching the Word. You're preaching against the Word of God when you're saying that a man or a woman or a child can live any kind of way and still be saved, or they can go here to this party, or they can do this. They can smoke this or do this and do that and still be saved. Or you're preaching the wrong way of baptism. Come on here. Amen. You're preaching the wrong way of baptism. You're preaching the wrong way of salvation. That too. Amen. Let me clarify for you what the Word of God says. It says, "Woe unto them that scattereth what? My sheep." And that don't mean that the sheep has left the church. It means that it don't necessarily mean that they have left the church. And it could mean, and it does mean those that have left the church, because you have preached the wrong thing. You're preaching the wrong thing, and you know you're preaching the wrong thing, but you're scattering the sheep. You're scattering them spiritually. And do you know what woe means in the Bible? Woe unto them. Woe means judgment. Woe means judgment. That means you will be held accountable for every single soul that you have led the wrong way. The blood is on your hands. That's why I say when I say I don't care about me being on the radio, it is a privilege and an honor, yes. But God did not have to choose me. He could have chose somebody else. But I count it a privilege and an honor, and I refuse, me personally, and this is my own personal opinion, I refuse to get on here. I refuse even just witnessing to somebody. I refuse to sit over here and act like I know it all, because I don't. And there are some preachers that do that because they wanna have the answer to everything. I ain't got the answers to everything. I tell my wife that. I tell my children that. I don't have the answer to everything. Sometimes me and my wife, I'll give you an example for me personally. Me and my wife, I went through something, and it was a financial thing. And I told the Lord, Lord told me exactly what to do. Exactly what to do. And my flesh was hesitant on doing it because I said that the enemy was trying to tell me, well, if you give that unto the Lord, you're going to be left with this and this and this bill and this and this, and this ain't going to be taken care of, and the gas in your car, you're going to be low on gas, so you won't be able to make it to work, and this and that, and this and that. But I let all of that out of my mind. I say, you know what? I'm going to do this God's way. Now, have I done it God's way every time? No. And I have repented for that. But I ain't going to get on here and act like I'm just the best. No. I have not made every single decision the right way. But I told the Lord, I'm going to do this the way you want me to do it. Whatever you tell me to give, however you tell me to give, I'm going to do it. The Lord gave me a specific instructions on what to give and how to give it. I said, okay, Lord, and I did exactly that. And I told my first lady, and I told my pastor, I said, I'm giving this unto you. I'm giving this unto the Lord, but I'm putting it in your hand. And I put it in their hand. Lord told me to give it, so I'm going to do it. And do you not know, not even a week went by. I think 2 days went by, Monday and Tuesday. Still had gas in the car. Bills was paid, everything. Had a bill coming up. Gas was like close to being on E. had about what, $8 in my pocket for gas. That's it. But I still did what the Lord told me to do. That Wednesday, Lord sent the check on by. Sent the check. And my wife, before that check came, my wife was like, I told my wife what the Lord told me to do. And my wife was like, you better make sure that that's the Lord and pray about it. I prayed about it because she said, we ain't got this, we ain't got that. I said, we'll be all right. We're going to be all right. I said, we're going to go on a wing and a prayer right now. We're going to be all right. We ain't calling nobody. We ain't going to do nothing. We just going to do what God tells us to do. We're going to do it that way. That's what we're going to do. And the Lord, I did not say nothing to nobody. I didn't even say nothing to my parents. I didn't say nothing to nobody. The Lord moved on that Wednesday. It was like nothing, those 2 days, and I wasn't even supposed to get what I got on that day. I was supposed to wait like 3 more days to get it, like 2 or 3 more days to get it. And the Lord sent it early. And my wife was like, oh, you got your, yep, I got my stuff. She said, oh, my God. I said, see, when you do it God's way, when you do it the Lord's way, and now, look, and we still have, come on here, when you do it the Lord's way, that's why we were built for the master's use. And being built for the master's use, there are privileges and rights that you get when you do it God's way and not your way. We're not built for our own use. We're built for the use of the Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ. When God says for you to go here or go there, you better listen. I remember a long time ago, this is before I got married, and I don't want to say I was living my best life, because my best life is ahead of me, amen. I'm still got a year. I still got a bunch of years to live, amen. Still got the best years to live, amen. But I was living, I was living by myself and everything, and I went to my friend's house. Went to go see an old high school friend. Amen. And I went over there, went to go see him, and I said, I'll be back over here tomorrow. And was getting up, getting ready to leave. This was the next day. Getting up, getting ready to leave and everything. And this is, I got on the bus to go to my friend's house. And I made it all the way downtown. And I got off because I had to transfer buses to get to my friend's house. And I got off one bus, got on the other bus to go to my friend's house. And then I got off the bus that brought me downtown, got on the other bus. And I was sitting there. And the Lord, and I heard the Lord's voice so distinctly. The Lord said, get off the bus and go home. And I'm like, and I'm thinking, I looked around. I was looking, like, did I just hear what I? And I just sat there for a minute, because I'm like, okay, Lord didn't tell me why to get off the bus and go home. I heard it, and I'm feeling in my spirit, okay, something ain't right. And I just sat there for a minute, and the Lord said it again. And then, and the second time he said it, he said, Adam, get off the bus and go home. So I quickly got up, soon as he said my name, because I knew he was talking to me. At first, I thought he, you know, I thought I was, well, I ain't going to say I thought I was hearing stuff, but hey, amen. I thought it was just me, you know. But the Lord said, Adam, get off the bus, get up and get off the bus and go home. So I quickly got up, got off that bus. The bus that brought me downtown was still sitting there. It wasn't even supposed to be sitting there at that time. It was supposed to be long gone. I got off that bus that was going to transport me to my friend's house, got back on the bus that brought me downtown, went back home. And the Lord said, when I got home, I started feeling sleepy. And I called my friend and I said, you know, so-and-so, I said, I'm not going to be able to come today. And they said, well, why not? And I said, because I got stuff I got to do. I just had something come up. And they said, all right. So I hung up the phone and I went to sleep. And I woke up and I guess I went to sleep just to show, because I told my friend, I had something come up. I guess the Lord had me, go to sleep so I wouldn't be lying to my friend. So I wouldn't be lying because I really didn't have nothing else to do. But I started feeling sleepy. So I went to sleep. I had something come up. I was sleepy. Amen. So the Lord had me go to sleep. I was sleeping, heard my phone ring. About 2 hours later, phone rings. It's my friend on the other side of that phone. I pick it up and I say, hello. And my friend says, Adam. I said, yeah. He said, I'm so happy. He said, I'm glad that you didn't come over here. I said, well, why? He said, because the police just came in our house and raided the whole house and took some people to jail. And they're doing an investigation on our house right now. And I said, when I got off that phone, I started leaping in my home. I started praising the Lord because I listened to the voice of the Lord. Because I listened to the voice of the Lord, I escaped danger, seen and unseen. I didn't know I'm not saying that. I could have been the one that went to jail. I could have been the one that been investigated. I could have been the one in trouble. But because I listened to the voice of the Lord, it kept me out of trouble. Amen. And to this day, I still don't know why. My friend never told me why the police came to their house and why they sent some people to jail and sent everybody else home. That's all I was told. But when it comes to being, I said all that status, when it comes to being built or being created for the master's use, we have to learn how to obey God. We can't do it our way. Amen. We can't do it our way. If we go against the will of God, we're in sin. We're sinning. When we go against the promise of God for our life, we're sinning. Well, how am I sinning if I go against the promise of God? Because that's what he designed for your life. And if you go against it, you're sinning, because the Bible says all disobedience is sin. If God tells you to go left and you go right, God has a assigned destination for you to go left and you go right, you're sinning. Because all disobedience, you have just disobeyed God all the Bible says all disobedience is what? Sin. Amen? That's what brought sin onto the world in the first place, because of Adam's disobedience to God. Amen? That's how sin came into the world anyway. Amen? That's how sin and death came into the world, because of disobedience. Amen? Disobedience brought sin, and sin brought death. Amen? But if Adam hadn't disobeyed, there would be no sin and there would be no death on the face of this world. Amen? Sin brought death. Don't you know that when you disobey God, you can spiritually die? Because the word of God tells us the wages of sin is what? Death. And it's not necessarily meaning a natural death, but it's also talking about a spiritual death. When you disobey God, sin stinks in the nostrils of God. You get separate from God. It departs your relationship with God when you're walking in sin. When you disobey God, it departs you from the presence of God. This is a deep thing. That's why we're built for the master's use. That's why I said at the beginning, no child is a mistake. God's got a reason why you're here. God's got a reason why Bishop Cook is here. God's got a reason why I'm here. God's got a reason why the Spirit Alive Network is here. God's got a reason. God's got a reason. All of the servant leaders of the Spirit Alive Network, if you are listening to me today, I encourage you, keep preaching. Keep preaching. Amen. As long as it's true. And everybody that know me know, I will stand flat foot on the word of God. The day you come off the word of God is the day that we ain't in agreement. And that goes for anybody. That goes for me too. I heard a preacher say one time, if my mama wanna go, which she doesn't, amen. My father don't either. But if my mama and daddy wanna go to hell, let them go. If they wanna live unsafe, let them go. If my wife want to go, let her go. If my children want to go, let them go. Why? Because this is an individual thing. Every man for themselves. And I even say it right on the air, and Bishop Cook won't even care if I say it. If Bishop Cook want to go, I'm not going. If I want to go, I know Bishop Cook ain't going. Amen. If I just certainly want to... Pastor, I don't want to live. I don't want to live saved no more. Okay, that's fine. That's your soul. We got to learn how to shake the dust from our feet and move on. Because there's some people, the word of God, see what the word of God does, it either draws you or it drives you. This word is like a two-edged sword. It cuts out the sin that is in your life. It cuts out every wrong in your life. Every wrong thought in your life, it comes to cut out everything. Why is it a two-edged sword? Because it will cut the sin out. The Lord every day. My pastor, Pastor William Tuggle, he said every day we should repent. Every day we should repent. Daily. Do you know why God, do you know why David was the apple of God's eye? Because of his sure humbleness and repentance, of repenting. His sure humbleness, he humbled himself enough to repent. That is why he was the apple of God's eye. And his praise. His praise was a reason. Amen? Do you know why God considered Job to be a perfect and upright man? Because Job not only repented for himself, but he said, even if my family did anything, I repent for them too. Sometimes, and you know what? Sometimes you might say, well, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't do this, I don't do that. So what do I need to repent daily for? Look, there are sins of commission, omission. Sins that you know you did, sins that you know you don't need to be doing that you done committed, and sins that you don't know that you've committed. Amen. That's why we should repent daily. Clean ourselves. Just like we take showers on a day-to-day basis, we should make sure our spiritual man is clean every day. And we clean with repentance. We clean with prayer. We clean ourselves with fasting. We clean ourselves with the Word of God, reading and understanding and meditating on the Word of God. Do you understand? How do you look? You want to know how to clean your mind? Take in the Word of God and meditate on it. Let it seep in. Let it simmer in your mind. And watch the Word of God clean out everything that's wrong in your mind. And when you start thinking, that's why the songwriter says, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. I praise God for saving me. Why is my soul crying out? Because I'm being made clean through the Word of God. I'm being made clean by thinking on the Word of God. I'm being made clean on thinking of the things that God has brought me from. I'm being made clean. He said, David said, create in me a clean heart and renew a what? A right spirit within me. Creating me. That's why I remember I watched a video on this past week on YouTube. Pastor, this evangelist Mildred Boyd. Evangelist Mildred Boyd. Great evangelist. Gone on to be with the Lord now, but a great evangelist. Will preach holiness. Did not care what you thought about it. Did not care what you thought about her either. But she lived holiness. She didn't just preach holiness. She lived holiness. Amen. But she was saying in that message, she was saying that that people say, and this was back in the early 90s. This video was back in the early 90s, about 92, 93, somewhere in there, because it looked really, really old, probably in the 80s, late 80s. But she said the same thing that they're saying now. See, that's why God said there's nothing new under the sun. They said it back then. God knows my heart. And she said, God don't want that old thing. She said it. God don't want that thing. He said that he'll take out a stony heart and put in a heart of flesh. That's why David said, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart. What does that mean? My heart is wicked. My heart, the heart that I came in this world with, is desperately wicked. And my heart is not, the Lord does not want that filthy thing. When people say, well, God knows my heart. God knows that I'm only human. And God knows you're human. That's why he knows you're human. But he also knows that you can do better than what you're doing. I'm talking to. I ain't just talking to the sinner man neither. For those that think I'm talking to the sinner man right now. No, I'm talking to who I'm talking to. I'm talking to anybody that needs it. sinner, preacher, foe alike. Anybody. God does not want our broken, because, and I know he said he'll heal the broken and confused hearts. He'll heal the brokenhearted. When you came in, look, when you come in, when you came into this world a sinner. So your heart came in wicked. Your heart came in broken because your heart, spiritually, your heart was already broken because we had no way out. We had no way out of sin at first until God came and died for us. Amen. And when God comes in, he said, I stand at the door and knock. Some of you guys, some of y'all, God has knocked on your door. And I don't know who I'm talking to today, but God has knocked on your door and knocked on your door and knocked at your door, and you have hardened your heart. That's why the Bible says, when the Lord comes knocking at your door, harden not your heart. Why does he want, why does he put in a heart of flesh? Because he can mold the heart of flesh. When we look at this heart, if you took out your heart out of your body, it's like jail. The heart itself, the natural heart, it's like jail. Amen. It's very, it's not hard. Amen. It's not like a rock. It can be moved. Amen. You know, you can work on it. Amen. You can't work on a stony heart. A hard heart. There's an old saying, a hard head make a soft behind. Well, a hard heart make it hard for people to live too. A hard heart make it real hard for a person to live. Just like that heart, and you know what that hard head, it starts with your mind. Whatever's on your mind goes into your heart, and whatever's in your heart will come out of you. That's why it's good to take in the right things. That's why it's good to get with the right people. Because what do you mean by, you might say, well, Minister Adam, what does it mean to be around the that's why it's good to be around the saints more than to be around the ain't. I'm not saying shove sinners away from you, but it's not good for you. It's not good for a saint of God to always be hanging around ungodly folks. It's not good. You hanging around. Every time we see a person, we see an ungodly person with you. The Bible says, and you're doing what they're doing. Once you start hanging around ungodly people, you keep hanging around ungodly people. I promise you. And you do a little bit here with them, and you do a little bit there with them. I guarantee you, eventually, you're not going to be that godly person anymore. Why? Because evil communication, the Bible says evil communication corrupts good manners. That's why it's good for, just like Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas, they hung around each other. They were both on one accord. That's why it's good to get with somebody, a person that you're running buddy. Make sure that they're in like mind. Make sure y'all in like mind. Amen. Amen. How can two walk together? That ain't just in marriage. That ain't just talking about marriage.
How can two walk together except they agree? They have to have the same mind. That's why the day of Pentecost was of a great effect, because what? We read it earlier. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all one accord. Which means they were all under one mind, under one mindset. They were there to receive the Holy Ghost. And let me tell you something. Let me show y'all something. I'm going to show y'all this, and I'm going to tell y'all. For the ones that try to go to other avenues to find relief in their life, when they try to find looking for life, when they go looking for life, and they're looking for life in all the wrong places, when they go to this religion and that religion, I'm not talking about salvation, I'm talking about religion now. When they go to this religion and that religion to try to find relief for their soul, let me tell you something. There's only one way. We were created for the master's use, and there's only one way to receive salvation. There's only one way. The Bible says there's only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. He said he is the way, the truth, and what? The life. You're not going to find life in the drugs. You're not going to find life in the partying. You're not going to find the life in that man. You're not going to find the life in that woman. You're not going to find the life. Come on here. I'm about to go real deep. You're not about to find life in sex. Come on here. You're not going to find it. Why? Because it doesn't dwell there. Life does not dwell there. Life does not dwell in all of these other avenues that we try to find life in. The Bible specifically says he is the way, the truth, and the life. He said in John chapter 10, verse 10, he says, I came that you might, what, have life, and that more abundantly. This is why we were created for the master's use, that we can have life more abundantly. That's where it backs up, Romans 8 and 28. And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose. It was his purpose for you to be here. His purpose was for you to be created for his use. And he breathed the breath of life, just like he breathed the breath of life into Adam, he breathed the breath of life into you. And then in every breath you take, you are taking from the breath of God for his use and his purpose. And if you walk in his purpose and you use the breath of God that God has given you every day that you breathe, every day that you wake up, every breath you take, and you use it for the glorification of God, I guarantee you, your life will be so pleasant because, as I said before, Romans 8 and 28, all things work together for the good of them that love God. How do we know? How does God know that that we love him? We show him by our actions, by the actions that we do. This is deep. This is why. And look, God, let me show y'all something. Because this is what the Lord just showed me. Why do you think, you might say, well, Minister Adam, why did God trust Peter to carry the message? Why did God trust Peter? Because he showed his love unto God. Even though when he said, upon this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, Peter didn't have the Holy Ghost because the Holy Ghost hadn't been given out. Jesus hadn't even died yet. We see it right there. But he knew that down the line, he would be able to trust Peter to give the message. God, let me show y'all something. God does not put his glory on just anything. Now, I'm going to say that again. God does not put his glory just on anything. God does not put his Holy Ghost just in any vessel. Now, it's for everybody, but if you are living a life that is not pleasing unto God, he can't put his glory in you. He can't give you glory. He can't give, he can't let his Shekinah glory fall upon you like that. Because you're, and it speaks it in the book of Jude that certain men have crept in unaware. Amen. You might say, well, why are you saying that? That have crept in. There are certain men that have crept in unaware. These are ungodly people. These people did not receive what, when it says that, that have crept in unaware. These are people that are not, that are not in the faith. You, I said it like this. I'm going to give you this example. When I was living with my parents as a child, this is the best example I can give about this, about what I'm saying. There are benefits when you are living a lifestyle of godliness and holiness. When you're living righteously, holy, in holiness, there are benefits that God gives to shine, to so that he can be seen shining out of you. That's a benefit. There were benefits that I received by living underneath my father's house. Underneath my father and mother's house. When I was a child, I was put on my father's insurance. With his, with that insurance, I was able to receive vision, dental, medical, all that stuff. Because I was living with my father. I was with, I was in my father's house. I'm one of my father's children. Amen. I was born in, I got my father's last name. Amen. And I said this last, I believe I said this last week, and I'm going to say it again. My friends and my brother's friends and my sister's friends that used to come over to the house, they didn't get the same benefit that we got. Why? Because they didn't live in our house. They didn't carry my father's last name. Amen. But they got some of the benefits that my father had. When they spent the night, they got fed. They got a roof over their head. They had some place to sleep. They had my mother would come in and anoint everybody. So they got some of the benefits. They got to go to church with her. So they got some of the benefits. Not living in the house. Not being in the house, not being a part of the family. They got some of the benefits. They didn't get all of them. But us being one big happy family, we got, as his children, as my mom and dad's children, we got all the benefits. Because why? We were in the house. We were in the family. We took on my father's name. We were underneath the shadow of the Tuggle household. Amen. He that, the Bible says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the what? The shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my what? My refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Why? How can you say that? Because you, when a person has taken on the name of Jesus, you are built for the master's use. Now, a person that is not taking on the Spirit of Christ is not in the family. Well, how do I know? Well, you might say, well, Minister Adam, I'm in the family. How do I'm in the, no, unless you've taken on his Spirit. unless you've taken on God's Spirit, repentance, and baptism, as we read in Acts 2 and 38, you have not taken on the name of Christ, and you are not adopted into the family, which means you do not receive all of the benefits of God. You receive some of the benefits, which is some of the benefits is breathing, having a roof over your head, because he said he reigns over the just and the unjust. You get some of the benefits. You don't get all of them, as is if you were living in the house. But when you come into the house, you get all the benefits, because why? You were created for the master's use. And if you were created for the master's use, he has equipped you to be used for him. He has equipped you with everything you need to be used by him. That's why I said you got to be equipped. And equipped doesn't just mean in the word of God. He's equipped you to bless you with things. He has equipped you spiritually and naturally. Amen. Amen. I praise God for being here on today. I hope that you have got something out of this. I pray that you've got something out of this. Amen. I pray that every person that is underneath the sound of my voice has a very, very blessed week. And I'm going to say this. If there's anybody that did not like what I said, I'm going to say it like an old elder used to say. If you didn't like anything I said today, anything, because we're almost out of time, you can call this radio station next week. Call in. And guess what? I'll repeat it to you all over again. Why? Because this is the unadulterated word of God. And it is a blessing to our souls. It's not a blessing because it's coming from me. It's a blessing because it's coming from the Lord himself. Now, I don't take credit for it because it's not my word to take credit for. But I believe that if you and I take on the word of God, and we listen to the word of God, and we tap into the word of God, and we not only read it and not only hear it, but be doers of it, we'll be blessed. Blessed is the man that walketh. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Amen. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his word does he meditate, what, day and night? Amen. If we meditate on the word of God, if we obey the word of God, we will be blessed. We will be blessed beyond measure. You want to stay blessed? You ain't got to go in these last few seconds that I got. You ain't got to go hear no pastor or no prophetess prophesy over you blessings. You can prophesy over yourself. And you know what? You know the best way to get a blessing? By doing what the Lord tells you to do. And not doing it and expecting a blessing, just doing it because he's God. Just doing it because he told you to. And I'm a... There was a wrestler that used to say, his name, everybody, you might say, well, you may not want to use this wrestler's name on a Christian station. Well, what he said make a lot of sense. After every promo he cut, he would say, and that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so. Well, guess what? When you listen to the word of God, I'm going to say it like this. If you listen to the word of God and say, well, I'm not going to do that, but you just do it because
Jesus Christ says so, and just take it as the bottom line, you'll be more blessed. Take it as the bottom line, because Jesus said so, you'll be more blessed. I'll be more blessed. We will be more blessed. And if I'm blessed, you blessed. And if you blessed, I'm blessed. Then we can go on and we can be created more. We can be more created for the Master's use. In Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you. In Jesus' name. As it states in Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is the only way to see heaven. This is the only way to see the Lord's face in peace one day, in Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you. And until next weekend, until next Saturday, this is the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle, Amen, radio show right here on the Spirit Alive Network, right here, hallelujah, on Blog Talk Radio, in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the Spirit Alive Network where you can be ye transformed, in Jesus' name. Thank you again to Bishop Cook, the watchman on the wall for this network, for allowing us to come one more time to bring forth the Word of God over the airways. Every person that is listening, make sure you tune in to the Spirit Alive Network all this week, because we got some great shows for you. We got some great word coming for you this week on the Spirit Alive Network, where you can be transformed, in Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you. And until next week, as my grandmother said when she was living, if I don't see you again, or if you don't hear my voice again, I will see you in the rapture of the church. God bless you.
Love you. Beautiful job.
Yes, ma'am.